You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Monday. Welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we, of course, talk about the Indiana Pacers. As always, I'm one of the hosts of the show, Tony East, covering the team for Forbes, the West Indianapolis Community News, and the Fieldhouse. On the other line with me, of course, to discuss a great week for the Pacers and a great game tonight, my lovely co-host, Adam Friedman. Adam, how are you?
I'm doing better. If you didn't catch it last week, you might have thought the podcast went a little faster with a little bit lower banter than usual. That's because I had the stomach flu about 5 minutes after the podcast ended. So this week, feeling good.
We stopped recording, and Adam goes, I have to go to the bathroom, and then just hangs up and leaves.
and then Marina texts Tony, Adam's not going to be able to edit this podcast because he's
in the shape. Oh, man. It was easy. But we are back and healthy, ready to go.
I'm feeling great.
The Pacers are not healthy, but they are ready to go. How about that segue?
Unfortunately, I got better. Pacers did not. The injury bug. But
they're surviving. They played the Bulls and started a two-way player who had like 6 total minutes before that game. Like 13, I think. And then they just beat the Mavs without their starting point guard, their best three-point shooter. I mean, and Jeremy Lamb, of course. So they're playing really well. And we'll start with this Dallas game tonight. Was that one of the most fun games of the season or what?
Yeah, I put that up there with Boston and with Denver, those two wins this year.
Great back-and-forth basketball, clutch defense everywhere. Justin Holiday was tremendous. Miles Turner was tremendous. They did a pretty good job on
Vic. Vic's stepping up, man.
Vic is stepping up.
Vic looking a little clean. Yeah. Looking a little better.
It's funny. He does it to us all the time where he goes 6 of 18 and it doesn't matter because one of the six just happens to win them the game.
Well, the thing is I thought before tonight's game, he was having a solid week. I mean,
he was
doing a little more of the Vic things where he was just like,
he was amazing against the Bulls.
But he wasn't over, but like he was in the thing where he was 5 of 10, so he's not like taking a ridiculous amount of shots. He hit a couple of good threes. Like he was just kind of playing more in flow and not trying to overexert himself. And tonight, of course, he overexerts himself. It looks like tries to insert himself by taking a bunch of threes, but makes it up because he gets a nice
shot. So that next game after the All-Star break, remember we applauded him for only taking 8 shots. Since then, he has had 15, 19, 16, and 16. And in 3 of those 4 games has been over 45% shooting. So, yeah, he absolutely is playing better. And the one game he didn't shoot over 45%, he just put the game away with dagger free throws and a jumper. So, we'll take it.
Yes, we'll take those for sure. Were you a little scared for a second when he got pulled down, like in his whole legs?
By his neck. What the heck was that? I know they have to foul, but there has to be a not violent way to do that.
Yeah, why was that not called a flagrant? That's also
I don't know how that works. But I mean, okay, that game though, like the Pacers got away with some stuff on Luka.
Oh yeah, didn't Luka say what was the play where somebody hit Luka in the face? And he said, "You can't do that to me."
Yeah, I'm gonna not talk about the officiating in that game. No, yeah, everybody really did play fantastic. Sabonis played a ton of minutes because they couldn't rely on Goga's D at all in the 1 minute he had at the end of the first quarter. But he played really well. The Mavs don't really have a big guy to guard him, and they can't play Boban a ton. And the Pacers really put together a quality game. I mean, everybody on the team played up above their expectation in this game, and that's why they were able to win.
Yeah, I mean, I think with Sabonis, too, I mean, I don't know how much credit would give him on the Porzingis defense or just putting had a bad night, but
Miles gets a ton of credit
for that. Yeah. Well, so like putting up was 3 of 17.
This might have been Miles' best defensive game of the season. He was insane.
Yeah, I mean, some of that you got to just Porzingis having a bad game, but like he killed them last time. I mean, Porzingis, I think had 38 last time they played, and Luka didn't even play in that game. I mean, if they don't hold Porzingis the way they did, they don't win this game. So I mean, that was like the key. He was like, I think Porzingis didn't make a shot till like late second quarter. I think he was 0 of 8, and he might have been like a layup with like 2 minutes left in the half.
And McConnell was really big in this game. JJ Barea's, I loved that they were joking about this on the broadcast. JJ Barea's like the only matchup he ever has that he's taller than, and so he just destroys him and picks on him the whole game.
Unfortunately, I wasn't to the Mavs broadcast, but so I didn't hear that joke. But I did like the. As a short white man, I did enjoy seeing two short white men.
The makeshift second unit in the week. We'll get to the Bulls game now. A little combined thoughts here because they are pretty banged up right now. Thankfully, after the Celtics, they have 4 days off or three days off, which is big. to get healthy because they're really banged up. But their makeshift second unit, McConnell being the only mainstay playing the same position as normal because Justin Holliday's been playing a little 2 and 3 as opposed to 4. Jakarr Sampson's getting some run. Sumner's getting some run. They, all those guys were good against the Mavs, and all of them were great against the Bulls. Sumner specifically was fantastic. So that group is clicking to a surprising degree. And McConnell, of course, being the engine that drives the second unit is a big part of that.
I would say, how excited were you when you saw Holiday, Sumner, and Oladipo out there for a little bit against the Bulls? I was pretty. I was like, oh, I've been waiting for this. I was like, I think we had kind of talked about it at the beginning of the season when both guys were, like when Sumner was playing really well at the start of the year and Holiday was kind of getting going, like, oh, that could be an interesting lineup to have kind of those three just like super fast players out there. So it was.
Thing that's crazy to me, and like this probably won't be his role full time for a while, but they're like letting him run pick and rolls and pass and try to drive and stuff. Like, he's initiating for them. And he had 5 assists against the Bulls. He had less assists against Dallas, but still was good. I mean, he's like, these were his best consecutive games probably of his career. And they needed it at a big time. He looks good. And this is why they believed in him and gave him an extension early.
Well, what's crazy is they give him this like huge freedom. They don't really give Aaron Holiday. I mean, I guess Holiday took a ton of threes when he off the bench, but it feels like Sumner just has more of like a.
There are dangers of giving Aaron Holiday too much.
Yes, I know. We've seen Aaron Holiday. You give him the keys and he drives the car way too far, and he doesn't bring it back all the time.
he doesn't bring it back. That's something. Like, I like that. That was funny. That was good. We had to give him an honorable mention, although there won't be much talk here. Brian Bowen filling in. No Warren and McDermott. So Warren had missed like 4 games this season, and McDermott had missed none before this game. So they always had someone to plug in on the wing. Well, so they had
No, sorry, keep going. I'll ask a question later. Go ahead.
They had neither in this game. So they give the car. We'll bring the car back. They give the car to Brian Bowen. His last day of his 2-way contract. They literally couldn't let him practice the day before because they were preparing for this exact scenario. So they could start him on the wing. Didn't make a shot, but didn't totally kill him. Had 4 rebounds, played fine. I mean, good for him to be able to step in and help them have some semblance of a normal rotation in a win. So, Brian Bowen, last day of your deal. Congratulations on that.
How many points do you think he had as a Pacer? How many? Give me the over-under of 10.
He's 4.
Okay, you knew the number. No fun. You're absolutely no fun.
Baskets.
He had 2, had 4 points as a Pacer. I agree. I mean, first of all, when you play the Bulls, you can pretty much throw anybody out there. That's fine because the Bulls are probably the one.
Literally, all he had to do was just like not get in the way, and he did good.
That's fine.
It's hard when you don't practice.
he was a warm body they desperately needed when they're down like 3 guards. So.
And we never get the chance to talk about him outside of when I talk about the Mad Ants on occasional segments. So it was exciting to see him get a start and double his NBA minutes in one night.
Yeah, and then he was with the Mad Ants like tonight. Wasn't going to have a
He played well with the Mad Ants. They beat the Grand Rapids Drive tonight. And it was good. So, you know what's crazy? I know they lost by whatever, 18 to the Bucks, but they were in that game. This was such a good road trip, like start to finish. I mean, we didn't expect them to go 4-1 and play the Bucks tough at all. I think we both said 3-2, didn't we?
I want to say I said 3-2. At least this week I thought like 1-3 or 2-2, maybe I thought.
Yeah.
Probably 2-2. I thought they would beat. They beat the Bulls and maybe beat the Spurs, I thought.
Right, Spurs are tough. I mean, I was just like, if they didn't get off to a slow start in Milwaukee, I mean, who knows how we're talking this week. But they're playing pretty well.
Yeah. I would say outside of like a pretty crap first quarter and pretty crap kind of fourth quarter against Milwaukee, they had a pretty nice, I guess, we call it an end of third to fourth quarter stretch against Milwaukee, right? Maybe it started the third really, really bad. I forget.
Yeah.
Right. When that run on the start of the third quarter,
started settling a little bit.
Yeah, but out of those couple of stretches, I thought they played really – well, I mean, I'm lucky. I did the podcast afterwards. I was like, for a few minutes, I thought, oh, they're in this game. Then Brodin got hurt, and I think that kind of just kind of threw everything off, which not surprised by that.
That game, they lost by 18, and, like, that's bad. But, like, to the best, like, possibly the third best regular season team ever on the road, they played them pretty well. Like, the score is not in.
They were down 2.5, right?
Something like
that. One? Was it one? It might have been one. Whatever it was, they were very much in the game, I thought. And I knew the start of the quarter would dictate it, and without Brodin, that definitely But like if he hadn't got hurt, they I think had a shot to win that game. I mean, they probably won. The Bucks are really good, but just to play the Bucks close is a kind of win itself.
Well, since then the Bucks lost in Los Angeles, Giannis got hurt, and then they lost in Phoenix which means that because of the Pacers' fantastic road trip, they now have the best record in the Eastern Conference over the last 10 games at 8-2. Ooh.
7 or 8-2 over the last 10.
8-2 over the last 10.
So we joked before the show, but they're only 3.5 back of Boston in playoff.
Yeah, I've been doing standing watch segments where I talk about just Philly and Miami, but like Boston's not totally. Boston went 5-5 in their last 10. Like that's not totally out of the realm. I mean, it's pretty freaking hard.
Let's put it this way. They play them twice. They have to beat them both times.
They have to play like they've been playing recently, basically the rest of the season.
And they don't have the easiest schedule in the year.
No, it's like 12th hardest.
Yeah, but I mean, they do play the Lakers, who are pretty good.
Yeah,
Boston twice.
I'd put it at like a 0.5% chance, but they have created the discussion.
There's an opportunity here if they go 2-0 this week.
They have a big week, yeah.
Where we're talking about, they have a shot at the 3 seed.
Yes, I highly, highly doubt it, but we have to talk about it. Still, the most likely seed's probably 6.
They could go 2-0 this week. I think there's a chance they go 2-0 this week. I mean, we'll see.
Who's in and out for Philly on Saturday?
Yeah, that's a huge part of it. So,
right. So we were talking before the show, and we first were kind of joking that. You know, sometimes when they play really well, we kind of highlight, you know, a lot of times that's TJ Warren, I feel like, but we kind of highlight a player who's been playing well. We talk about them, and we did talk about Vic for a little bit, but we really could go with anyone because a lot of guys played good this past week, but the guy you mentioned first was Miles Turner, and I definitely think we should start with him.
Yeah, I think he deserves a huge shout-out. To me, I feel like this week he kind of turned a corner. So, right, he had a 17-point night against the Spurs. I believe he had, 15 against the Bulls, and 16 tonight. I mean –
This is on the heels of him hitting two massive three-pointers.
Exactly. And it's also on top of him playing awesome defense for all those games. So, for Turner, right, it's always been he just got to be, enough competent offense. And tonight, you especially saw he kind of had a more – he got a bunch of threes that were probably, I would say, from the 24-foot spot. He just took them. I mean, he was just taking – there's – and a couple of times even I thought Sabonis is rolling to the rim. Just kick out Turner and let him shoot. Like, there seems to be some of that more, understanding and more of a comfort of, if we're double-teamed here in the post, they're doing the Sabonis a lot now. You're seeing a lot of kind of help defense on Sabonis because he can destroy anybody one-on-one basically in the league right now. And so kick it out and let Turner shoot a three. I mean, if he – when he – I know what is he at this year's percentage now? He's in the 30
from three. It's probably still not great.
Yeah, I think part of that is because
he's 33, 34.
To me, it's like he's taking a consistent amount of 3-point shots in the same spot. And at least over the last few games, I feel like it's been better. At least I feel like I felt like that shot is a more consistent shot there.
For me, what's been impressive is he's been putting together some dribble moves, which is like peak confidence for Turner, and getting fouled and getting to the line. 4 free throws against the Spurs. 6 against the Bulls, 6 tonight against the Mavs. And that's just when Miles is at his best, is when he has the matchups and the confidence put together where he can put up a shot fake and put it on the floor, which sometimes he settles for. Not that a shot is bad for him, but sometimes he settles for the shot when he's not.
No, but he's also so big. He gets fouled every time. He's a good enough jump shooter to get the free points.
Right. I'm with you there. It's just that's when I feel like he's at his absolute best.
Yeah. No, I mean, and you can see it too when they double team Sabonis to get the bucket around. He has a lot of space. He could and then he'll just shoot the three, but he could easily. He has plenty of space to go make a move if he wants to.
Yeah.
Man, the shot clock, obviously, and all that other stuff. But he's definitely getting the easiest offense of any Pacer player, and so he should be taking advantage of it.
And he is, and of course, because it's Miles, we have to shout out his defense on Luka tonight. They were switching, which is rare. They were switching on to Luka a lot. Miles did a great job on him on the perimeter a few times. On Giannis, even, he had some amazing plays. I think 3 jump balls, right?
That sounds right.
Yeah, I mean, just some ridiculous strips. I mean, everybody plays good D against the Bulls, but he played good D against the Bulls. Clutch block to win it against the Spurs. He just played fantastic this whole week.
Yeah, his defense to me, too. I mean, we knew last year he took a leap. But this year is starting to feel like, at least the last couple of weeks, that he's doing against also good teams, right?
He's a little more versatile.
Good players. He's playing against good players and showing up. I feel that's always been kind of his biggest flaw is that, he beats the, the bottom-level players like the Bulls. He owns teams like the Bulls or the Magic, for example, right? He just dominates them. But, when you get to a team like the Mavs, he's got this really talented offensive players, or even Giannis, he just, kind of doesn't stand up to the moment. And this week, it felt like he at least
– He did.
Was trying to.
He totally did. Yeah, he was the first guy I felt like deserved highlighting. And Yeah, I think you're right to say that he has the easiest shots, but it's, you know, it, when teams ignore him, he punishes, and that's what they needed from him. But I mean, they outscored the match by 15 with him on the court tonight. That's insane.
Yeah, and if he has the easiest shots and he can score 16 points a game, that's solid. Just do that. Keep doing that. That's what they need. That's how they win games, basically.
Is there anybody, is there any other player you would like to talk about?
I mean, he did what we all expected, but Sabonis had another pretty awesome week.
He did.
20 and 17.
It's like he's an all star or something.
24 and 12 the night before. Let's see. I'm trying to go back. He was not great against the Bucks. 15 and 7, but then he had a 14 and 11. I mean,
well, against the Spurs, this was like, and I talked about this. I did a recap for once. He didn't actually play that well, but like that game was the most I felt like he had like an all star moment since the break, where he was terrible the first three quarters, horrible, and then in the fourth quarter he's like, all right, I'm the best effing player on this team, and he just dominated and scored a bunch of points, and they came back and beat him because he was just said F you and scored a bunch, and then, yeah, killed the Bulls, killed the Mavs. Insane rebounding week, 11, 10, 12, 17. Set the franchise record for double-doubles, too. We have to talk about that.
Yes.
5 assists, 7 assists, 3 assists, 6 assists. Like, he was – even though his percentages shooting were not fantastic this week, he played really well.
And, you know, he's – quickly, and we'll see if Barton actually, when he comes back, he might actually lead the team in assists by the time we get to the end of the season.
Like, oh, wow. That's crazy.
Not per game.
That's certainly possible. I want to look at how close he is.
11 behind McConnell right now, and he is...
For first or second?
For second, and then he's 47 behind Brogdon.
Wow. But
I mean, that's... How many games we got left? 19 games left? 18 games?
Wow, so, that's not impossible.
No, it's about... He's been putting about 4-5 a game right now.
That would be crazy.
Continues on that pace.
The problem is if he catches McConnell, that means the second unit stopped making threes. So hopefully that doesn't happen.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, but he could get a lot in the first unit still. I mean, we could...
Yeah, that's true.
He could like get like... McConnell gets 6 and he could get 8 and you kind of catch him that way, theoretically.
Right.
That the passing is the thing that has made him, like, you know, I thought this year, like, oh, will he be an all-star again is kind of the question, I think. And I think the passing is kind of, if he continues that way, it makes a better case for, like, he will be an all-star again next year.
Oh, for sure.
Close to triple-double numbers, which...
He won't ever be Jokic. Jokic is unbelievable. But
no, but he's getting closer to Jokic.
Approach that level is huge.
And remember, we still forget he's only, what, 23? He'll be 24 this month sometime.
His third year basically playing center in the NBA.
Right, so I mean...
Because the Thunder decided he was a perimeter player.
And he has a father who was, like, the best passing big man of all time, apparently. So he has a great player.
That minor back point, whatever.
Well, he is able to learn from, like, I don't know. I mean, there is a chance he could get to Jokic's level if he just gets better every year.
Oh, those two big men, look at that, having great weeks.
Yeah, they play well together. But well, tonight, I mean, this is like the first good week we've had in probably a while, it feels like, right?
They played well. Well, they played well the week after the break, but they played nobody. So we were like, yeah.
They beat okay teams. I mean, the Spurs obviously are not as good as they used to be. So there's also some of that like residual.
The Mavs are good.
Yeah, but I think the Mavs are really good. They played really okay against the Bucks.
Man, if that Raptors game, they lost by like 6, you know how much we'd be talking about how good they've been playing since the break.
Yeah, well, that 40-point loss.
Gosh, that just sucked the air out of so much.
Well, they're lucky that they countered it with a nice 39-point win, so their like net rating isn't so
good.
Whatever.
They lost by 7 points in a 1-1 stretch, whatever.
Yeah.
That's what I like to look at. I would like to give one more guy a nice little honorable shout-out because he might not be playing anymore very soon.
Okay.
And because I'm writing about him, so this is selfish.
Okay.
Jakar.
Yeah.
Jakar stepping up amongst injuries, 14 points against the Bulls. That was the most of any player on the second unit, I think.
Revenge game, right? He played for the Bulls.
Revenge
before.
Game, that's true. I forget who was asking him, like, did the Bulls offer you anything? He's like, not really. And then they said, oh, who'd the Bulls get at power forward? And he was like, Fad. And, oh, yeah, they got that instead of Jakar, but.
Yeah,
14 points on the Dunks, leading the second unit that night. It was really good. Played okay enough against the Bucks. Always plays good defense. Justin Holiday had some nice things to say about him, which you can all read tomorrow when I put it up. But
he's a nice player to have when Dermot gets hurt. You need that backup or like third four, I guess you want to call
it. When your 11th/12th guy is helpful, that's a big deal.
Yes, and it will be helpful. I mean, because injuries are part of the league, and who knows what will happen next year. Right. But
Again, I talked about this with him before on the show. He was an August 1st signing, right, on the Pacers, right? So he was almost out of the league before this year. He's probably cemented his spot that he will at least stay in the league.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's locked up at 11, 12 spot in any roster in the league.
Right.
I mean,
he'll probably never be like a high end rotation player or anything, but he's at least proven like, yeah, you know, you need this guy on any team.
Yeah, he also could go play for a bad team like he did for the Bulls last year and put up some stats.
Got on the Pacers.
Well, he didn't really play many games last year, right? How many? He only played like
4 at the very end of the year.
Right, but like I think he could go somewhere and like legitimately play like probably 60 games and be the ninth guy if he's on a really crap team. You know what I mean? Like playing kind of backup four for a really bad team.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Or like playing center for a really bad team, to be honest.
No kidding. Any other player you want to talk about? Or should we move on to the Brogdon injury and another big news thing about none other than Lance Stephenson?
I will say the only thing is Warren guarded Luka tonight, which I thought was interesting.
He did. Outside of that 3-foul possession, he did a pretty good job.
Yeah, so besides that fact for it. But yeah,
that was the weirdest thing.
But like I think it's interesting how he is the body they throw at the best player now.
Every time. It's insane.
Yeah, it's interesting.
We've talked about this so much, but it just blows my mind. Like, oh, Luka Doncic, yeah, Warren, you got him. Like,
so, what? I mean, we've been going for like 20 minutes now, so we probably wrap this up soon. But like, do you think he's made it? So, was he on the top 100 last year in the league?
No, remember he was like the honorable mentions,
right? So, but he's definitely made his way into the top 100, right?
Well, yeah. Well, I'll definitely argue it next year.
Do you think he made his way even like closer to 50, or do you think he's more than 70s, 70 range?
Not that high. It's not like his defense isn't perfect. Like his defense.
No, but offensively, he's been the number two offensive player on this team this year.
Yes, he is really a team that lets him play to his strengths is helping him. Yes,
arguably, he's been the second best player on a playoff team. So yeah. I mean, like that's like worth something. I mean, and he's young-ish, right? He's what 26? Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I just think he always deserves a little shout out just because.
We can talk about him every week. And when they're playing well, usually he is scoring.
And remember, he got hurt and they lost 4 in a row. Just remember that. He got hurt and they lost 4 in a row.
That's why, again, Brian Bowen deserved his shout out.
Yes, he did because he did step in for Warren in that game.
Yeah. All right, let's take a small little break here and talk about the two big newses from the week.
Today's Locked On Pacers podcast is brought to you by Indeed. When you start your hiring process, you may have questions. Will you find good applicants to choose from? What about education and experience? And how will you know you've made the right hire? Well, Indeed is here to help. Millions of great candidates use Indeed every day to find their next opportunity. You can post a job in minutes and use screener questions to help curate your short list of applicants fast. Also, add a skills test to your job post so you can be confident in your applicants' abilities. The library of more than 50 skills tests range from industry-specific skills like accounting to general aptitude tests like critical thinking. Indeed gives you the smart tool to make hiring decisions quickly and be confident that you're making the right hire for your team. Post your job at Indeed.com/LockedOn and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting. That's Indeed.com/LockedOn. Terms and conditions may apply. Offer valid only through March 31st, 2020.
All right, we'll do the Brogdon one first because the Lance stuff is related to this. Malcolm Brogdon has been diagnosed with a torn left rectus femoris. I cannot not laugh at rectus every time. But that is a muscle in the quad. He is week to week, and I think how long he's out for is unclear, but based on some PTs and my mentions on Twitter, so take that for what it's worth. If it's a low-grade tear, I think I said that right, grade, like grade 1, it would like be a 1 to 2 week thing, and if it's a grade 2 or 3 or 4 or something, it will be like 4 to 6. So we'll have to find that out, but he's week to week, so we won't find out for a little bit.
Yeah, you told me this on this deal, but there are 38 days left in the regular season, so it's
37 five, now tomorrow for
the 5 weeks, roughly a little more. But
yeah, so if he can come back on the early end, great. And if it's like the short one, you know, they'll have him for the last 3 weeks of the season, ready for the playoffs. But if not, he might be coming back closer to the end. We'll see. But they didn't say out for the season for a reason, right? I'm sure they expect him to come back.
Yeah, and so it's worth mentioning that last year he hurt his foot going into the playoffs from Milwaukee and he came in, played 7 games. I think you also told me this. He came in the last game of the second round and had a pretty solid playoff and was able to fit kind of right in, play 29 minutes in the playoffs. So yeah,
he came into a closeout game.
So he has experience coming off the bench cold. He played pretty well too in that Raptors series. If I remember right, he was probably their third best player, probably behind Middleton, Giannis, and him, and way better than Bledsoe, obviously. And obviously ended up being a futile series against the Raptors. But so he's had experience coming in kind of just out of the blue to play in a playoff game. So there's that hope that if he maybe misses all the regular season, he comes back. But hopefully it's more like a grade one something and he'll be back. Maybe
I got it officially grade one or two is the short one. Three and four is the longer one. So
we'll see. So hopefully it's grade one or two and he comes back maybe with like a week left, 2 weeks left, kind of just.
Right, later, late in the month kind of.
They'll have to figure out how to place him minutes-wise between Sumner and Holiday. And
right, so far, well, it's tough because of Lamb, right? Because at first there was no problem. You just throw Aaron in. But now, exactly, they've been having to get creative with Sumner and even with other wings out, Jakar, to like get enough bodies out there to play. And I think Holiday is, you know, capable enough to play in the rotation. We've seen it all season long. That's why when Lamb was out, it wasn't the end of the world. Sumner is a drop. Not that I love him. I think he's great, but that's the big drop. So if he can continue to play like he has, that's huge to fill in for this gap. Because
give him a 1 month test ride, and if he
he's on the team next year either way. So
yeah, and if he plays well enough, he might earn himself a rotation spot next year, depending on what's how everything else shakes out with injuries of Lamb and all that stuff. It's too bad that Vic was kind of injured, because this could be a good time to test out point Vic. But
yeah, that's
true. I won't see that either, because they're still trying to kind of manage his minutes and stuff like that.
Right. So with Holiday as a starter, 25 games, 14 wins this season, that's pretty good.
Yeah, solid.
So it doesn't bode horribly for the stretch run, although they do have a pretty tough schedule coming. I thought this was pretty interesting. I told this before. You know, it doesn't seem like this. Like they doesn't seem like they're so reliant on Brogdon, that he swings them so much. But they were 30-18 before tonight when he played, which is 51 win pace, and 8-7 now, 9-7 with Adam, which is like 43. So it's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, it's kind of it's not a big enough sample size to me.
Yeah, I know.
Because
we
don't know who they played in that stretch. I mean, I feel like he missed a bunch of games against some good teams. Like they lost to Houston, Milwaukee one time when he wasn't there, or at least got hurt
in the game. Like, he got hurt in the Houston game, I think.
Yeah, that's right. He got hurt in the Houston. There's just certain games where, like, of course they're going to lose if he doesn't play. Like, yeah. They're going to lose anyways. Like, congrats. Like, not the end of the, you know what right. I mean? So, but I mean, the way he's been playing, I guess it's been, he turned a little bit around recently, but.
He was less of a loss because the end after the break.
Yeah, he played so bad that it didn't feel as bad, but it is going to hurt this team. I think the thing is though, I don't think we've seen him 100% healthy this year since like the back end.
I agree.
So like, it feels like this might be the time to let him really heal his entire body, and then
we've said this before, like get everything right, don't come back till you're ready.
Because like I mean to me it. Like the 70% version of him we've seen has been not always great.
No,
it's been very up and down. When he's 100%, he's maybe their second best player. Maybe he's their best player, to be honest. I mean, the first 20 games would say that
he was the best player until like mid December. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, then until Sabonis overtook him. But, so maybe this is helps with that. And he gets, you know, everything else gets in line. Maybe he's just not, this year's just a bad year for him with injuries. He's never going to be 100% healthy. And we'll get kind of a half version of him, and maybe you get Sumner enough experience and Holiday enough experience that when he does come back, he plays only 20 minutes, but you get a good 20 minutes out of him versus him playing 35 and strained, and then you can help, you know, win you a playoff game or two and steal a first round series.
Boom, boom. Yeah, I remember this is where I think, like, even if Sumner is playing really good like he has been and they're not losing as much talent, this is from – so remember when they played Milwaukee at home and, like, Nazmi Trulong was in the rotation and all that? Like, they were so banged up. Something Nate said that day – that like part of why they're worse, of course, besides the talent, is they're limited in what they can run. He literally said, you're limited in what you can run on offense when you have these injuries, because these guys don't know the sets as well. I don't know the timing with these guys. So that's something else that could be a factor, even if Ed is playing really good, is they have to make stuff way simpler and straightforward. So we'll have to see how much impact that has.
Yeah, I you would hope Holiday now has – he's played how many games this year so far? What was that, like 50 games?
Right, and that's why I specified that it was a Naz game, because he's a 2-way guy, so he literally isn't with the Patriots all the time.
Yeah, like Holiday should know enough of the sets. Now he's played 56 games this year, and you got to hope, because Sumner's kind of just playing two guard next to McConnell. They can still run stuff.
Adam, you know who might know the playbook?
Who?
Lance.
Oh, yes. What are we going to do? So what is this the third time we talked about it since we've done this podcast? Like year wise, third year in a row now we're following on him.
Yeah, apparently
every year he comes up. Every year he comes back up to your dismay.
To my dismay. Well, he's not. I don't even think he's as good as Ed right now. Maybe he's the same. But wouldn't you rather develop the young guy? Whatever. make fans
just
happy.
Just say it, Tony. Just do it. What
making fans happy is fine. Whatever. Yeah, so Shams Charania, the big thing everybody's been waiting for, I'm sure, this whole time. Shams Charania, The Athletic, reporting today. I didn't want to make sure I get this right, but I have to scroll through my own tweets to find his. Says, Lance Stephenson is in strong talks on a potential deal with Indiana, sources tell The Athletic and Stadium. No agreement or decision is finalized. Stephenson would also need clearance from his clearance from his Chinese team and FIBA. So that, I remember sources said to Adam Zagoria of Forbes and Scott Agnes of The Athletic before the Brogdon injury that this was not something the Pacers were considering. So I think this is a factor of that. And yeah, maybe we don't know the deal. It could be like a 10-day even.
Yeah.
But they have to cut someone to make this happen. There's a lot of things you could talk about with this.
So we have to assume, too, that one of the three guards – like they're down two guards, right? So they're down Brogdon and they're down Lamb. And probably somebody of Oladipo, Holiday, Sumner, McConnell will get hurt at some point and they need
– Well, yeah, and Depot's not playing. They have two back-to-backs left, don't they?
That sounds right.
So he's out for both of those games.
So they need somebody for those games. Now, maybe they figure out a piecemeal it together and shift Justin Holiday to the two and make it work, which very
that's much. Been working fine.
Yeah, so their back-to-backs left. They play Sacramento, L.A. back-to-back. That would be great.
Oh, boy.
And they play the Clippers in Los Angeles. And I guess that's – we'll mark that one a loss right now. Oh, and then the coveted – ooh, I wonder if Vic might play if it's close, the Miami-Boston back-to-back.
Yeah, that's brutal. That's a back-to-back.
If they're really tight, I wonder if Vic might play that back-to-back.
That's possible. Especially
right, if it's – and maybe there's – I mean, the other part of this, right, is we did it before. We don't know how long Brogdon's out. So Brogdon's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. Then you need somebody like him. Brogdon's going to be out 1 to 3 weeks. Then you can probably get away with not needing him. So that's
right.
Part of the issue. And that, right, because, like, if you went 1 to 3 weeks, Brogdon could be back by the end of April or early April games.
Right. So, and I think once Brogdon's back, even if they – so they have to cut someone. I would assume personally that would be Alize Johnson. You could argue TJ Leaf. Sure, whatever.
The money, though, is you want to keep the cash to trade.
Yeah, I was going to say you probably keep Leaf just so you can trade some. I mean, not that they're getting something for him, but the value of the money, whatever.
Yeah, if you need to throw him in a contract to make him match.
Right, right. So that's a possibility. Plus, it's easier to buy him out with 1 year left. Anyway, probably going to be Alize if that happens. But I think Lance, if he even played at all, would only play until Brogdon came back, right?
Yeah, definitely. Then, I mean, I think as soon as Brogdon comes back, Lance out there wouldn't even be in the rotation.
Yeah, so there's no way they would play Lance over McConnell or Aaron Holiday with the second unit, I don't think. So,
yeah,
but that's interesting. I mean, it's interesting.
So, do you think he'd play right now if he came in? Like, I'm not even sure he'd play right now. I think he'd just.
I don't know either.
You seem to think, I mean, you texted me this, and maybe you changed your mind since we talked a couple hours ago, but like that if they're going to sign him, they might as well. Play him, but like, or they're gonna play him. I mean, but like, I don't know if they agree with that
because if they think Ed's good enough to do it, they're not gonna sign a guy, right?
Well, I think you sign him as like, I mean, he basically is like an insurance policy. Like, you're not gonna play Lance, but if unless something happens and you're gonna play two games, fair. Basically.
See, to me, like this is what I texted you. Like, if they actually thought this guy would be playing a lot and would be an impactful guy, they'd get a better player. Like Tyler Johnson is just sitting out there. Free agency.
I don't think they think that. I think they think you're going to play like you're break the glass case of emergency play. Like
right. In that case, then
maybe you're right. Maybe it's a 10-day contract.
In that case, exactly. You go get it. I don't know that it's a 10-day, but that might.
But no, but that could be more what it is.
Right. Right.
Because Lance is trying to get back in the league again. Lance is just trying to get back in the league once again, obviously.
So the China stuff is interesting, and you know the timing's interesting because they have to wave a guy. So. I don't think he would play against the Celtics. He maybe would be available if they do it this week for that Philly game. We'll see. But, yes, definitely something to monitor. It's going to be very interesting to see. And here's another thing I want to talk about. He would be a horrible fit with TJ McConnell. So that
he'd be horrible with everybody. Let's be real.
It'd just be interesting to see how they would try to get him out there.
Can you believe last year he shot 37% from three?
With the Lakers he did?
Yeah.
Wow, LeBron makes everybody a great shooter.
He's going to get another shot in the league this year. I'm really surprised by that. I mean, I'm not that surprised, but especially not like the 10th.
Well, he's not a good defender anymore. See, like
he
was with the Pacers for that first stretch where he was fringe All Star in 13-14. He was a great defender, and
he was a great defender, and he was shooting 49% from the field.
Yeah, he could score really well. He was awesome, and then his second stint here,
not so awesome.
He kind of lost all the defense. So.
Well, he pretended he was still good at defense, but really wasn't. Like he just Yeah, really hadn't like put in the like. He clearly had with the Pacers those couple years. One, play next to Roy Hibbert, David West, and Paul George.
Right, that helped.
Anybody's defense good. Those are like three of the best defensive players when they're at their peak, maybe in the league at the time. Right. So that's going to help him. But like in George Hill too, I'll throw him as a pretty good defender. So that that helped. But he just clearly like he stopped working on like what made him good.
Because like personally, if he was, of course, you know, everybody who listens knows that I think the basketball reasons to sign him are poor. But I do understand the fan sentiment department and the energy stuff. I get it. Like, I get it.
No, but like, if he was an awesome defender and shot 37 from three, he'd be in the league right now.
Yeah, he'd be making $10 million.
Eh, I don't know about that. But playing 15 minutes a night, taking three.
$5 million. $5 million.
Yeah, but he'd be somebody's ninth guy, for sure.
Exactly.
So, I mean, it's just – so.
Again, he does play better here, though, so that's certainly not –
he does, but he's still
– we'll see. Right. That'll probably happen this week. We'll talk about it more when it officially happens because – I'm guessing it will happen, given that Shams tweeted it. You know, he's pretty plugged in with the agents and all that. So, but, you know, with the China, the phrasing isn't as definite as a lot of things he says. It's not a lock, and especially because they have to waive a guy. So we'll
let me get my take on this before we do a break. If you're leaking that they haven't signed him yet, like, my thought was they leaked it, and then he's going to sign within, like, we hear it by the end of tonight. Like, we'd hear it before we did this podcast that he signed. Wow. So that means that they're probably not as close as we think they are, and somebody's leaking something to be able to push the negotiations along. I don't know if it's probably Lance's guys because he went back in the league, but usually when you leak that you're close, you would see a deal pretty quickly. Like, I feel like when the Reggie Jackson stuff happened, right, it was like leaked Jackson's eyeing the Clippers, and then all of a sudden he's a Clipper within like
an hour. Well, also maybe they wait till after the Celtics game because they might actually need Alize to play like with these injuries and stuff.
I don't know. It seems like anybody else get hurt tonight.
Once they know that like they'll get Doug back and be healthy, they're like, all right, we're comfy doing this now.
Yeah, but I feel like they're going to play the same rotation they played tonight. I don't think anybody else get hurt tonight.
I don't know.
Because you could Vic will go tomorrow and have a swollen
knee. I just feel like a big gap between games is a good time to do something like that.
Yeah, that could be. But then why would it leak out? Like, I guess Lance people are trying to push it, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know. I know that Lance's people have been talkative. That's what I do.
Well, he's been trying to get every time his like go to get back and leaves, go to the Pacers, sign me, and I'll
play okay, get signed by someone else, right?
So, and then he runs away somewhere else, stinks, and has to come back walking back.
We'll see how good he can be. Everybody knows my thoughts about that, but if he proves me wrong, he proves me wrong. So we talked about their big gap this week. They only have two games, but they're very, very important games. So we're going to take a little break and then we're going to talk about them. Big time week. Potential playoff preview Tuesday. Team they're fighting within the standings Saturday. Philly, Boston. It's going to be super fun and super important, and I am really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think this might be the most fun week of the season.
It's got a shot to be, for sure. I am really looking forward to it. So I guess we'll just jump right into Boston because the big thing in that game is Jaylen Brown. I think might be out for this game because I think last Wednesday or Tuesday I saw that he'd be out for a week. So Jaylen Brown could be out, which is helpful. But they will have Marcus Smart, which they did not have this time. But anyway, they're just a good basketball team. They're not playing awesome right now, but they just have so many – between Kemba and Tatum's playing ridiculous recently, and Hayward's good, and Tice is good. They just have so many weapons all over the floor.
Yeah, the thing I say about Boston is Vic always plays well against them.
Vic does always play well against Boston. This is his first opportunity to do that this year.
The Boston's top five with offensive and defensive rating, which is
– wow, are they really?
Yeah, they're
– seems like their record should be better than that.
Yeah, I mean, let's see. They're – they don't have –
they're only one loss behind than expected.
Oh, they are? Okay.
Yeah.
They don't have it on the top anymore.
Yeah.
But if – so if Brown doesn't play, that's big. I mean
– that's a big deal.
And
– he's a quality on-ball defender, okay offensive player, just good player.
Yeah, and I mean Hayward and Kemba both have had issues. I mean they're both healthy right now, but they're both in my fantasy team, and it's like it's painful. But
Kemba hasn't been playing well since he returned, right?
Yeah, he only returned for like two or three games right now. He hasn't been back a ton. His knee thing was like kind of concerning because we weren't sure how long he was going to be out for.
Yeah,
but he was going to come back. What the whole deal was, he kind of knee drained, I think. So he's played. They're not playing back to backs now. You know, him or Hayward both basically aren't.
So something that's interesting with the Celtics, and a lot of times when I watch basketball a lot, but a lot of times to get these high level looks at something the Pacers can do against this team is you can look at you know, just their general stats, and the and Basketball Reference has their rankings compared to the league. They're so balanced that none of them stand out as good or bad. They're just pretty good at a lot of damn stuff. So there's not really like a blueprint to easily beat them. And that's what makes them a tough team. You know, the Pacers needed a ginormous fourth quarter to beat them at home.
Yeah. I think the advantage Pacers obviously have is they're going to have this the center spot, right? That's where the
Pacers are. Again, I'm really looking forward to this game for a selfish reason, but I really am excited for Tice to do good against the Pacers. So all these dork wads on Twitter who are like, the Pacers can easily beat the Celtics. They don't have any center.
Well, they can't because they played them last year, and this team is basically just – they're basically a better version of Tatum and Brown and then a swap Kemba for Kyrie, which is actually probably better for this team. So they definitely –
yeah, they lost Horford. That's the big one.
Yeah.
But
– they lost Horford, but like everything else –
they play a ton faster now they don't have Horford. And because they have all these speedy wings, that is really useful.
This team will not be easy to beat, but that is the advantage where Sabonis – should be able to have a nice night.
He can play good, but like Tice is really good, man.
No, I know. I just Sabonis is really good too.
Sabonis is really good. Sabonis is obviously better than Tice, and Enes Kanter is terrible. And I remember we focused the last time these guys played on the Kanter Sabonis minutes being really important.
That's true. That's also
and what that is for. That still is true. And if that in the playoffs, if these two teams do meet, that will be big time. Is I wonder if the Pacers would even target getting Sabonis out there with Kanter out there and just pick and roll, hammer it to death.
So, should we read Tatum's 2020 stats from the start of the year?
My gosh, he's been so good.
So, in 26 games since the start of the new year, Tatum is averaging 26 points per game on 47, 43.5, 78 shooting. That is a man who is going to be one of the 10 best players in the league eventually.
Superstar. Like, right now, he's playing like a superstar.
Did you see the NBA desktop version where
– with his beard connecting?
Well, no, with Jason Concepcion, like, crying that Tatum became good.
Oh, yeah, yes.
I very much felt that.
NBA desktop is very good.
It's hilarious. It's very on point, a lot of times. Like, I just, like, I've never sympathized with that more when I was like, yeah, I hate that Tatum's, like, going to be awesome. Like, I thought for sure Boston does this fleeces Brooklyn, and after all this whole thing, they end up with, like, Kemba and Hayward and Brown and Tatum, who are okay, but, like, none of them are great, and this team is just kind of really good, but never going to be like special. And now it's like
they have three first rounders this year too. They're still sitting.
Yeah, but the first rounders are like in the tenth,
right? Because Memphis is actually good.
You know, top five picks are all that really matters. Right.
they have 220-point scorers on the wing. One who's going to be a superstar plus Kemba.
Well, and they're both under the age of 24. And you add, they got some veteran guys, and they can easily maybe move. Not easy, but they can move Hayward if they want to make a move for something else. And like Kemba's still really good. Like, this team...
Yeah, they're going to be good for a while.
Yeah, they're going to be good the next 2 or 3 years at least, and if not the next, like, 5 to 10.
Yeah. Yeah, Tatum's a stud. That changes the dynamic of this, too, because... So what's interesting is, like, we talked about TJ Warren on Luka. They have options to throw at the one guy, but who do you put Warren on if you know, in this series? Because, like, I feel like they... My ideal guess would be they'd go Warren on Tatum, Brogdon on Brown, and then Depot on Kemba. But of course, they don't have Brogdon, and Holiday size means he has to be on Kemba.
Yeah, Holiday's guarding Kemba for sure.
For sure. So Depot maybe on Brown, and then Warren on Tatum. But yeah, picking who Warren guards is tough in this matchup. I could hear a lot of answers.
I also definitely think you could see a lot of smaller minutes versus Bonus at center, Justin Holiday in this game.
Yeah, because Gordon Hayward is a killer matchup there.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I'm going to assume Brown isn't going to play. I think that's maybe a fair.
I am also operating under that assumption right now.
Yeah, I think that's maybe a fair.
I forget who I read that he's going to be out for a week from, but he hasn't played since then, so they've been right so far.
Yeah, so, and if he doesn't play, that makes it a little easier, because then who do they play? I'm going to look up who they started last night.
Smart, didn't they?
They started Semi Ojeleye.
Oh, wow.
They went
strong.
So that means the two centers can play then, right?
Yeah. That means
that actually is much better. Because they move Hayward. Well, Hayward also didn't play in this game. So actually that maybe throws it out of the window.
He played tonight against the Thunder for the Celtics.
Okay. So let me look.
They lost that game though.
So then let me look at their lineup tonight. But I'm guessing that they probably do a little small. But I mean, yeah, with the matchups you said, I think that makes – sort of sense.
There is some tough cross matches just between, like, Sabonis has to guard someone and they don't really.
Okay, so tonight they went Tatum, Hayward, Walker, Smart, Tice.
Yeah, so if that's the case, you'd go with Sabonis on Marcus Smart for sure. But they're just a hard team to guard, especially at their best. So we'll see how they line up and how they try to do it. This could be a bench game. If you're going to pick the bench, I'm going to do it for this game. I don't know if you are.
I was going to pick TJ Warren. I think he's going to be critical.
Yeah, so my X factor is the bench. Not that the Celtics bench is bad. They have a lot of specialty guys, right? Cantor, good rebounder, good offensive player. Brad Wanamaker's a good shooter. Semi Ojeleye is really strong and broody. So is Marcus Smart, although he's going to start this time. So they can fit those guys in around their wings, and they're dynamic with how their lineups work. But none of those players are studs who like tremble fear into your team. So I think if the bench can play cohesively like they have the last two games, they could do some damage.
Yeah, I think the bench has a chance here, at least to like the starters might lose, but the bench has a chance to bring them back to it, and then it will come down to kind of clutch play at the end of the game, which I don't know. I guess we'll see Tatum versus Oladipo essentially. To me, though, it's TJ Warren just because if he can figure out a way to guard Tatum, even just like hold him to under like 25 points, that gives him a real shot to win this game. Because, yeah, you got Walker, but like I said, Walker has not played
great. 40 last time he's played.
But he's not played great in the term injury. He had a 13 to 21 point game. So, like, I don't know where. I mean, I just don't know if he's at his best right now, I guess, maybe way to put it. But then when you get rid of, you know, if you can somehow, if Walker's a bad night, Tatum's a bad night, there's not a lot of other offensive players to step up, basically. I mean, you got maybe Hayward, but again, I mean, there's not enough offense for this team elsewhere to kind of carry them.
Yeah, right. I'm with you. We'll see. This is going to be a very interesting game, and I'm going to hopefully be there to ask a bunch of people if, like, this is going to be a playoff preview. You know, what do people think about these teams? It's going to be very fun to see how it all shakes out.
So do you think that plays into the Pacers' advantage because I've already played them last year to kind of see them again? Or you think because different team doesn't matter? I mean,
I mean, obviously they were better last year. But, like, part of the reason the Pacers could get nothing going is just Al Horford was killer. And he's gone.
Right.
And I understand people are salivating over Sabonis versus their bigs, unlike me. But they do have an advantage they did not have last year. So I still think the Celtics are really good, but they have options to actually like do stuff this year.
Like is there no chance that like the double centers just bully Boston around?
Oh, it's possible. It's totally possible. It's going to be hard because their wings are insanely good, but it's possible.
I just feel like there's an advantage with like maybe they can – if they have a bad three-point shooting night, then – the Pacers just kill them because they'll just destroy one of the last all night.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, it's gonna be interesting. Do we do butchers?
We didn't do butchers. I mean, we said I would say Tatum. I mean, he's been
Tatum and Kemba, yeah.
He's been amazing. I mean, it's either Tatum or Kemba, assuming Brown doesn't play.
Right. And Aaron Holiday did a pretty good job on Kemba when they played in November, December, I forget. So much so that he got asked about it in the locker room. I was compiling quotes for this Celtics thing I'm gonna write. So yeah, that he's a good one, and he had 40. You know, they're going to have to do better than that. I mean, they won that game, but they have to do better than that if they want to win this time.
Yeah, well, I hope Kemba has 40 for my fantasy sake, but I hope they still win for the Pacers' sake.
I am torn between win and loss choice here.
I think they win this one. They do play Boston very well in the regular season.
They get up for the Bostons.
Playoff, they were terrible against them.
So this is a preface I'm doing ahead of time on purpose so I can talk about it after the game. I always have felt like the first game back from a road trip is still kind of like a road game because you're still traveling home, you know?
Yeah, that's yeah.
So their home court advantage is a little bit not real, and I think the Celtics are a little bit better, so I'm going to pick Boston to win this game.
Yeah, and remember, they don't have Brogdon, so that's a big one.
I am picking the Celtics. I don't feel great about it, but I'm doing it. Also, we haven't updated our season predictions for a bit,
have we? Well, you can go ahead and do that after the show if you want, or do you want to do it right now
while we're talking? I just want to know. I want to know who's winning. It's got to be me.
Why would it be you for sure?
I'm kidding. No, you actually got the San Antonio win, and now we are tied again.
So right, but like you're running out of wins.
It doesn't matter. It's a prediction on a game by game basis.
Oh God damn it! Yeah,
yes, they are going to overshoot my 43 predicted wins.
Yeah, I mean, they're on pace for
what? But on an individual game prediction basis.
Are they on pace for 50 right now?
No, I think maybe actually.
Probably right under it. They have 18 games.
39 and 25, right?
Yeah, so they're probably like more like
39 over 64 times 82. They are on pace for 49.968 wins, just short.
50 wins, basically, what I said.
Yeah, that's 50. They have to go 500 the rest of the way to match 48. So, from last year. Let's talk about Philly. Let's do it. This one's weird to preview because their two best players, and maybe even third with Josh Richardson having this concussion, have not played in a long time. Ben Simmons would be reevaluated in 2 weeks. That was on Tuesday the 25th. That Tuesday is 2 days from now. So there's a chance, in theory, he could play. Embiid hasn't played in a while with a shoulder injury. Who knows if those guys will be healthy by the weekend. But
I'm going to go ahead and say that a nerve injury means you're probably not back in 2 weeks.
For Simmons, yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, I kind of doubt he'll play. Embiid, maybe. I don't remember.
I think Embiid, they said mid-March target, so this isn't still early. I guess right.
So it's hard to preview this game because if both of those guys play, I'm picking Philly. They're both studs. But
they're probably
with
not.
Just so. One of them, or neither. I mean, neither. You're picking the Pacers. Neither. They just lost to the Warriors, for Pete's sake. So they're kind of struggling right now. So if neither play, I'm picking the Pacers for sure. It's very hard to talk about what Philly could look like on Saturday.
Hey, I think that's fair. I think the Pacers are the Pacers' bad injury luck. They're getting some luck from other injuries to other teams. That's helping them right now.
They are.
Across the league, a lot of guys have been hurt for a lot of games this year. Like big guys. Like, yeah, Kem missed a bunch of games. Hayward missed a bunch of games for Boston. I guess Miami has had a major injury so far this year. Toronto obviously had like half their team out for like 20 straight games. So, I mean, everybody's been hurt. So everybody's had to deal with
right.
it. They get fortunate this time of year that they draw Philly. And they win this game, they win the Philly series too. So that's a big deal. And I don't see either Embiid or Simmons playing just from what I've been saying about them.
But I don't know.
Embiid, maybe, as I said, I think they said mid-March target for Embiid, but I think we would know something more. Like they'd be saying something always a week away. Like I feel like they both had big enough injuries where it's like, oh, they're a week away. That's when they're gonna come. Like you're gonna, you know, in advance when they're gonna come back, or they're just gonna show up tomorrow and be playing, basically.
Yeah, yeah, we'll see. I would almost guess for sure Simmons is out. Embiid, not as sure, but
yeah, that's fair.
They again, they're struggling right now. There's a reason the Pacers are literally a full game ahead of them, despite being, I think, a game and a half behind at the break. Does that sound right to you?
Yeah, that sounds right.
So they've made up the ground really fast. They just played this again. I just talked about their loss to the Sixers, right? They started Shake Milton, Mike Scott, Matisse Thybul.
Hey, Tobias. Shake's been good, man.
Shake has been good. I don't want to be a little shaky.
You know what his season average is? 50% from the field and 46 from three.
He just had like a 30-something point game in LA.
39-point game.
Yeah. Tobias Harris and Al Horford. That's not a bad lineup. You know, they got enough. I think they won at one game against a decent team recently. I think the Kings. And their bench, Alec Burks, Glenn Robinson, the two guys they got in a trade. That kind of changes the dynamic for them because their bench is actually good. And then Raul Neto and Furkan Korkmaz. So they do lose a ton without those guys, but they're definitely not as intimidating, right? They don't have the high-end star power. They're just kind of like an okay team.
Yeah, Korkmaz, since he, I think, started – when Simmons got hurt late February, right?
Yep.
So since he 25th. Was – not Korkmaz, sorry. Since Shake Milton got back in the starting lineup in late February, 18.8 points on 59-62 shooting.
Wow.
Now, yeah, one of those games he made, like he was like 9 of 9, 7 of 9 from 3 for 39 points. So that helps carry the rest.
They have him on some like absurdly good contract the rest of the season too.
Yeah.
For the rest of like 4 years or something.
But like so you
it's,
said.
It's really hard because if the team I just listed that they played against Golden State is who they have, and they're just going to be worse, right? They don't have a ton of like that's a lot. Tobias Harris can score for himself. Horford cannot. Like he has to be set up. And they don't have anyone who can really like burn you and get
the bench is just terrible.
Yeah, Richardson can. I'm guessing he'll be back from his concussion by then. But I mean, they're really counting on a lot of their set works really well, or they get out and transition and stuff, and that's hard.
They didn't play Kyle Kuzma. Could we see the former Pacer maybe play some minutes?
The former Pacer might play some minutes, although they do not like to play Kyle Quinn. I'm surprised they haven't cut him and just signed someone like JR to help them.
Well, I think they need that third center in case.
Yeah, they played Norvell Pell over him.
Yeah, well, they didn't play Norv Pell or Kyle Quinn against when they played the Warriors.
Yeah, they're a bizarro team. I'm glad GR3 found a spot that can use him, even though I read an article that he was not super thrilled about that.
About going to Philly?
He just didn't know what his role would be, and like no one told him when he got there, apparently.
Well, I don't. I guess the Warriors are just trying to. I thought he'd be a good fit once everybody got back.
I think they want to bring him back.
Who, the Warriors do or the Philly do?
Warriors.
So what, they send him out to bring him back? How does that
like in the summer?
Okay. So because I always thought he'd be a good like seventh or eighth guy once everybody returns.
Steps back too.
Right. He's a right. I mean, Jared's a 3-point shooter ish.
Yeah.
you know, he's a good, with the right coaching, he can be a decent body out there to provide.
Yeah, some. I like Jared Three. I think he's a good player. So that this game's going to be fascinating just because who is and isn't playing. I'm going to guess for the Butchers segment that neither Simmons or Embiid play, because I'm for sure Simmons isn't playing. If Embiid plays, he's the Butcher, right? He just murders Turner, mashes his way to the free throw line every game. Amazing defender. He's hard to beat. If neither of them play, it's Josh Richardson's the only guy that even kind of can do stuff, right? He can kind of pass and create his own shot, and he's a good defender, but they don't have anything that you have to like, oh, no, that guy could kill us here or there. Like, it might be Shake.
I mean, I think it's Tobias Harris probably, right?
Well, yes and no. He's the best.
He's been up like 24 since Simmons got hurt.
But he, yeah. He does create his own shots more than I'm giving him credit for.
He's a good player. I mean,
yeah, really, I like Tobias Harris. He is really
good. Reason he makes $30 million a year right now.
Man, I feel so bad for guys like Harris who are clearly good, but will never, ever, for the rest of his career, he'll be defined by how much money he makes.
Oh, I feel so bad. Tobias Harris got a $150 million contract. I'm crying right now.
Yeah, whatever.
Feeling so bad for the guy
who deserves a criticism. He's a $100 millionaire. But like,
he's worth so much more money.
You know what I'm talking about, though?
No, I understand, but like,
like, these guys are overpaid, sure, but they're still good.
I would love to be the overpaid player in the league making $170 million.
Understood. Like, I'm talking like an idiot. I just think it's
No, I understand what you mean from a basketball sense.
You're right.
But in a life sense, it's like you have so much money that it's like
I guess I'll go forget about it in my six pools.
Yeah, or like I'll go forget about it when I have my beach house and fucking Costa Rica.
I just said that if I had $100 million, I'd get six pools. Apparently,
houses. You have houses and planes.
Harris is a good pick for the Butcher. He can create his own threes. He's good enough off the dribble scorer. He's an okay defender. He's a good player. That's a good choice.
Yeah, that's what I'd pick.
Almost 20 points a game. Horford, of course, just owns Sabonis on D. So
yeah, but Horford lost a step a little bit. We both commit that.
I think he just stopped caring when he was like, "Wow, these guys don't like me at all." So.
I can't believe he went there. I still can't believe I thought for sure he would. Where do we thought Sacramento, right? That you were telling me that you thought
they offered him a bunch of money.
He's probably happier out there, to be honest. I don't know. They're not very good either. Yeah. At least the Philly team is good, but they're kind of like a annoying good.
Right.
Like nobody likes to try.
No one beating Simmons. I think Pacers win.
Yeah, I think so too.
One of them, it's close. Both of them, Sixers win. Neither of them, Pacers win.
Yeah, I don't see how Simmons plays this week. I thought like that injury is like
I think you're
on return all year. Like I that's a bad, like a pinched nerve. That's like ooh. Or whatever nerve and nerve impingement.
Big tiebreaker game too. They clinched it with a win.
Yes, that would be huge.
I know a lot of people rather be 6-5 to avoid the Bucks. Understood. I think they have a way better shot against the Heat than the Celtics. So I think I'm leaning back to 5 after being a 6-seed fan for a while, but. We'll see.
Well, and so it's also worth mentioning. Now we'll see if Giannis plays, but the Celtics play us, Milwaukee, Washington on a back-to-back. I will say,
wow.
They play 3 games before us. They play Chicago on Sunday. Like if Boston goes 2-2 this week, the Pacers go 2-0 while beating Boston. They'll only be like a game and a half, or maybe 2 games back. Like there's a legit shot.
The win season. Against them will make it from 3.5 to 2.5.
And then plus if they win,
gets it to two Celtics lot. Yeah, that's like a game and a half.
Yeah. So like wow. I know I get the whole be the 3-6 matchup. First of all, win a first round series. That's the only goal.
That's the only goal. That's why I totally understand avoiding the Bucks, but like
they aren't beating Toronto probably either.
I think you just gotta focus on getting through that very first.
Because if you win that first round series, that changes your let's say you win a first round series to 4-5.
And this is obvious to you, right? I think this is obvious. You'd rather get swept in the second round than losing 7.
Well, but think about maybe you get lucky and you take Milwaukee to 7 because you were able to find something. Then you're like the hot young team that took the best team in the East to 7.
Yeah.
Like
even just winning one.
The Pacers were in this spot in 2012-13 or 2011-12 when they played Miami as a 2-3. They took Miami to 6, and that was the first time where somebody really challenged the Heat, like outside of
that
like,
was the real recognized real, wasn't it?
No, that was the next year.
Okay,
that year was still Danny Granger, but that was the first team that challenged the Heat outside of the Heat, blowing it themselves against the Mavs, right? In about 2 years,
right.
Like besides them, that was the first, and they proved it. And the next year, they took them to 7. Like there is something where if you're able to like maybe pull 2 games against Milwaukee because whatever, who knows? You could easily at home and whatnot, and you play them tough. When the first year, you have all the momentum, obviously everybody's all happy. You're kind of like enthusiastic, maybe you get a free agent, maybe you have a trade. Somebody wants to be there because he sees it the turning point. Like there's things when you win playoff series that help you get better the next year. That you just need.
And I think the difference between Miami and Boston is sizable enough that I'm team five again.
And I think I used to be
team six. I am now team five.
I think Miami's a better matchup, and I think they have legit.
But I understand team six. I'm not saying team six is bad or anything.
Well, and we say the three seed, right? I was joking about the three seed, but I'm gonna look at Miami's gonna win. But like the four, having a home court advantage in the first round gives you like
huge
advantage to win a first round series. And they're only what, two back of that right now.
Yeah,
and they play Miami twice. They can make it up theoretically just by beating them. As you would say, they control their own destiny. Now, fortunately, Miami plays Charlotte, New York, Chicago this week, so they aren't going to lose any of those games. But then you play Milwaukee on Monday. Like, I don't know. There's some chances here to make it around and get to the fourth seed, which is probably the low key goal.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating. Looking forward to it. You don't have anything to plug. You don't write. I was going to ask you that.
No, I don't really write for it.
I have a thing about Jakar coming out tomorrow. Everybody go read it. Justin Holliday had some nice things to say about him.
Yeah, people go read that.
That's it. Fun.
That's episode. All I got. I'm out.
Fun episode. I think it's me tomorrow. Yes, previewing the Celtics. I'll try to get someone on for that. Other than that, we'll probably have some Lance stuff this week, game recaps, all the normal stuff. Thank you guys for listening, and we will see you tomorrow.